The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "This is my commandment. Love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Jesus Christ.
Please be seated. Love, love, love. We come here because of love, right? The readings speak about love. But I think we often don't understand love. Why? Because we use love in lots of different ways. We talk about falling in love. But we talk about the endurance of love. We talk about kind of that love for country, which is kind of a duty. We talk about what we love to do. We talk about what kind of things we love, like we love pizza and Oreos or these other things. We talk about, you know, you love your dog. But we also talk about loving our parents, loving our brothers, loving God, loving our sisters, cousins, friends, spouse. And this type of love, all of these are different types of love. But we only have one word for it. And so it kind of all gets just lumped together in the midst of that all. In the Greek language, which is what actually the New Testament was written in, which we heard in both the second reading from St. Paul to the Corinthians, as well as in the Gospel of John, would have been in Greek. And in Greek, they have different words for different types of love. They have kind of the first love, which is called storge. And this storge love is kind of an affectionate love that especially is talking about parents and children. Storge love, this love that is shared between parents and children. However, that's not the love that the New Testament is talking about here today. We also have a filial love. And a filial love is a love between friends. This love that cares for the other, that wants to spend time with them, that hopefully is present, right, between you two. That it's not just a falling in love, but there's also a friendship of love, a filial. And then you have that with other people as well. But that's not the love that the New Testament is speaking about here today. There's also an eros love, which kind of in the English translation would be kind of an erotic. But it's different. We kind of draw that from that. But eros at its heart of it is about a passionate love. A passionate love, not just of a sexual kind, but a passionate love that is of emotions, that drives you out of yourself. And this is kind of the falling in love eros, which kind of gets you to sometimes do stupid things, right? But it's this amazing love. And actually, we speak about it in the love that God has for us. That it's not just a filial love, although he kind of speaks about this friendship here. But he also has a passionate love. What kind of a passionate love? Well, we speak about the passion of Christ, right? The suffering, death, and resurrection. We have a crucifix to show forth the love of God. What kind of love does he have? He doesn't just have a storge love of an affectionate father. He doesn't just have a friendship of a friend, of Jesus as a friend, but he has an eros. He has a passionate love, a love that would drive him to do something so crazy as to be king of the universe, to become man, to become a baby, to be willing to die for us. And that passionate love is also, I hope, to a degree between you two. That there's a passion that drives you out of yourself to sometimes do things that you don't want to do, out of love for the other person. But one thing that we realize as humans is that feelings can sometimes help us do things, and they influence our emotions and what kind of that passion. But we can't always rely on our feelings, right? Feelings come and go, and there's certain days where you're passionately in love and you would do stupid things for one another. And then there's other days where you don't even want to see each other, right? Does that mean that there's no longer any love between you two? No. And then finally, the fourth love. Which the fourth love is what we come here today for. Because you can have an affectionate love, you can have a friendship love, you can have a passionate love, but that love, all of those come and go. All of those are passing. But if we want a love that the New Testament speaks about here today, if we want to love one another as God loves us, if we want that love that we speak about, that God is love, we're not speaking solely about these other types of love. We're talking about the deepest form of love, which is agape love. Agape love is the love in its most kind of theological or philosophical explanation is to will the good of the other. Now, it seems kind of boring, right? It's like, well, that's not very exciting. Yep, love is sometimes not very exciting. It sometimes is very boring, very humdrum. But yet, that love, that agape love, is what allows you to live in love. Why? Because feelings come and go. Eros will be there at times, but it won't be there at other times. What is going to keep you two together? What is going to allow you to be able to be happily ever after? Well, it's not going to just be through an easy marriage. It's not going to just be through a time of ease or out of convenience, right? We live in a world so filled with convenience and efficiency that we only want to do things as long as they're convenient, as long as we like to do it. But the love that you experience between yourselves is something different. You realize that you don't want just this filial love, this friendship love, this eros love to last for a time. There's this love that wants to go deeper. And that love wants to make promises because it wants to endure. It wants to never fail. It wants to be patient and kind and enduring. And that's only by being able to make promises and then to keep them. And God comes here, and you come before God to ask for his help. Because you want to make these promises, but you also realize, as Tobiah did in the first reading, Lord, have mercy on us. Deliver us. Because marriage is difficult. Because I want to make these promises, but I know that keeping them is difficult. I know that in my human feelings, I know in my human emotions, that it will be difficult and drive me here and there. But Lord, have mercy. Lord, deliver me. Lord, give me grace to be able to endure and love as you yourself love us. And that's the love that you ask and come here to make promises for. A love, as St. Paul speaks about, that is the basis of your worth. That your love between each other isn't about convenience. It's not about amazing trips or amazing wealth or having a nice house or a nice car or having an easy job. It's about the fact that Alexandra can count on Joshua that he will always be there and will the good of her. And just the same for Joshua, that he can know and rely at all times that he has someone who wills the good of him. Now, this type of love bears all things, hopes all things, endures all things. We speak about it in the love of Christ, that he was willing to lay down his life for us. And so, of course, one way that we kind of speak about this is, would you be able to take, or you would you be willing to take a bullet for the other person? And I think, you know, specifically it's the man's responsibility, right? So Joshua, really I'm asking you this question, right? Would you be willing to take a bullet? And I think so, right? You know, especially in this moment, right? If you're saying like, yeah, I want to make and keep these promises. But this love isn't just a momentary thing, right? It's not just this one time of taking a bullet. It's not just one heroic act. It is, in fact, a heroic act that comes daily. And I would liken this type of love and kind of the love that you are joining into, both of you, is a love that's not just willing to take a bullet one day, but instead, are you willing to take 10,000 paper cuts for the other person? Because there are going to be a lot of days where there's not a huge bullet that's kind of in between you two, or is it difficulty in life, but it's going to be little things. It's going to be little paper cuts that just add up over time, and they're going to be like, I just don't want to take another. I just don't want. That's going to be the decision. And whether your feelings are there or not doesn't matter. Because you're entering into a covenant of marriage, which isn't about feelings. It's about making a promise and keeping it. About a choice that we all have in free will. To will, to choose the best for the other person. And of course, that's the enduring love. Now I'll go on a little bit further. What is the best thing that you can will for the other person? It's of course not clashing symbols. It's not just wealth. It's not just convenience or ease. But the best thing that you can will for each other is ultimately the greatest good, heaven itself. That the other person would make it to heaven. That you would even lay down your life and sacrifice many things in order to help the other person make it to heaven. And that will be the greatest sign of love and the greatest endurance of love in your marriage. Whether you're willing to lay down things in order to help the other person get to heaven, the greatest good. We come here before God because we realize that there is love between you two. But you want to take it to the deepest love. And so as we come here to make promises and to keep them, if you are ready for this agape love that endures and never fails, I invite you and the wedding party forward.